Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen, and our guest today is Bill Bergren from the Bergren Law Offices. Bill, thanks for being with us again.
You're welcome.
Bill, today we're going to talk about trademarks. As a business owner, Sam owns her business, I own mine. We all have processes, we all have products, we all have things that we've developed. And we're talking today about protecting the names and the trademarks and things. Can you tell me, you know, what is a trademark?
A trademark is a word, phrase, or design that a customer sees and says, ah, I want that. Clean and Press. Honey Nut Cheerios. There's a house with a smiley face on it that is for carpet cleaning and duct repair. The individual involved, the client, has gotten a lot of good feedback for his design, his picture.
Mm-hmm.
He has that trademarked. It's something that causes the consumer to say, ah, I like that product. The company makes a good product or service. I want to use that product.
So it's a word or a design that's identified with a product or service that that a business owner is offering.
Yes, a word or phrase or design or combination thereof.
And we talked about earlier about Honey Nut Cheerios, when they wanted the, I'm assuming, General Mills trademarked Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yes.
What would they have to do to trademark that? How does that work?
Well, what they did, because they're looking at putting a manufacturing process in place and a lot of money in advertising. They had a lot of money involved in this, so they did more than just a general common law trademark, put it out in the marketplace, and it's a trademark. They went through the process of having it registered and actually having the name reserved until they did it. And even more so, they did a much broader search than you would normally do for a trademark. A trademark, you would first search in the U.S. Patent and Trademark Database to see what other marks are already assigned to products, to names or phrases for products. And if someone has the same name for the same category of goods or services that you want to cover, you can't get it.
Mm.
But for General Mills, they would go one step further and search to see if it's used in Google, if it's used in phone books, if it's used in common law type applications, in states, towns, to see if anybody's using it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as an example, Burger King, when they started trademarking their franchise out of Florida, they ran into a restaurant in Illinois that had three stores named Burger King.
Oh.
That were done before they had trademarked. And litigation pursued, and what happened was the company in Illinois can't continue to use those store names because they were there first in that marketplace before Burger King started rolling out.
Uh-huh.
So they were grandfathered in and they were allowed to use the name.
But they couldn't expand because they only had that area when Burger King expanded. So if you want to have a nationwide
trademark,
you want to be sure to see if you indeed own that mark.
Mm-hmm.
Or try to. And that's where they pay more money for the search. Then what they might do is they might have what they call an intent to use application. When you file with the Patent and Trademark Office, you have the option of getting a trademark application even before you are using it in the marketplace.
Oh.
You won't get a number assigned to it until it's issued, until actually used, but you can get the process started. So they might have several names that they're kind of earmarking to see how they're doing in market research,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll may drop some of those that don't sell as well. But Procter & Gamble does the same thing. They'll have a bunch of trademarks that they're kind of earmarking for products, ideas.
Interesting.
And then do the process.
So, Bill, from a business owner's standpoint, if you've got a product that you're selling and you've given it a unique name, or you think it's unique, and maybe a design, as we've talked, and you're going to start working that into your marketing materials, into your signage, into your entire operation, at what point do they say, should I trademark that? And what are the repercussions? What are the consequences of doing it or failing to do it?
Well, there are two. One is if you are intending to only do that mark in, for example, Minnesota, one state. A federal trademark requires use in commerce. That generally means use in more than one state. It also, in some court cases, can mean a restaurant in one state that serves interstate customers. So there's different ways of broadening it beyond just the definition of more than one state, but more than one state is typically in commerce. If you're just using it in one state, you may not want to go through the process of getting a federal trademark. But if someone else later gets a federal trademark, you can't expand outside of what you've been doing because they have nationwide rights.
So we talked in an earlier podcast about the fact that if you have a term that you've coined for your product, you put a TM behind it, you use it county by county, you can go ahead and use it, or you can go and try to get a federal trademark to protect it so that you can use it across the United States.
You're right.
But from a business owner standpoint, where do you cross the line? Should I just go use this, or should I go spend the time and the money to get the federal trademark? What's the decision maker there?
The decision maker is if you want to risk your investment in signage and literature, you won't search the database. You'll just use it. It's a catchy name. Use it. That's a very foolish move. There was a quilting store in Minneapolis, I believe, that had a catchy name. They put signage and advertising up, and they lost $15,000 when they got a letter from somebody saying, we own the trademark to this name. We're not in your state, but we own nationwide trademark. It's registered, and you're infringing.
Ouch.
Throw it away. So at the very least, see if the name is available. Search the database with the federal Patent Trademark Office to see if it's available for where you want to go. If you then want to spend a lot of money and you envision and spend on marketing outside the United States, outside of a state, expanding, then file your own trademark once you've gone to second state. Because that way, if you're still expanding beyond that, you then go for that. Or file an intent to use, which earmarks this, so that when you expand, you then can file an actual use statement and get the mark for the whole country.
Bill,
so
how long?
It depends on how much you're going to invest, but at the very least, you should do a search of the federal trademark database, and then you may want to do a broader search depending on how important the name is to you.
Typically, how long does it take to get a federal trademark, and what are the costs involved in that, Bill?
It takes probably about 2 years to get a trademark. It may be less. It depends a lot on how unique it is. If you have a unique name like Kodak for film, that's an example. You don't associate Kodak Bears with film, so it's a fanciful, unique name. That easily goes through if no one else is using it. If it's a suggestive name like Breezy Detergent or Breezy airplanes. It's also not associated with airplanes or detergent, and that also can go through pretty easily if no one's using it.
So it wouldn't take 2 years in a unique case.
It might take a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if you have a name like Minneapolis fried chicken, you probably, it would be descriptive, it would be very good marketing, but it wouldn't be a very good trademark because it's a descriptive name.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have to be in the marketplace for 3 to 5 years, have a clientele built up that associates you with that before you get that. Because remember, trademarks identify the customer with a source of the goods,
mm-hmm.
not just a name or product. So he has to have that identification to go with it. If it's generic, like elevator or Kleenex, you wouldn't get a trademark.
Mm.
So what's the process there? Is there an application form and a filing fee? And
first, you file an application. Well, you do a search first.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, if it's of the patent database, patent trademark database, that involves not that much time on the part of a practitioner. And then file the application. Generally, it's about $1,000 to file an application. And then if there's no arguing back and forth, it's rather straightforward. You get it issued, and then you have a trademark number. If there's arguing back and forth, it could easily run several $1,000s, depending on whether there's an opposer opposing you your right to get this because they're using it somewhere else, or because they believe it's similar to their mark. You may not agree with that, and you argue. Or they may petition to cancel your mark because they've been doing it elsewhere before you, and they think they have rights to cancel your mark. Those are litigation within the administrative setting, and that involves up to, well, thousands of dollars, $5,000-$10,000 or more, if that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
And you may or may not want to proceed with that. But a trademark typically costs about $1,000 to $2,000 to get. If you want to search more than just the trademark database, that search is about $1,000.
So from a business owner standpoint then, if he's going to invest a large amount of money in the name and a design of a product that they're selling, maybe $50,000, $100,000, $150,000 on a marketing campaign, if he's going to spend that much time and money on it, it's probably worthwhile to go try to get that national trademark so that he doesn't have to throw out all that
material
and so forth.
You're absolutely correct. To spend that amount of money to try and obtain a brand loyalty or customer identification with your product, be sure you own the trademark, first of all, not somebody else, and you have to throw it all away.
Mm-hmm.
And then if no one else owns it, then you should own it, because anybody else can use the same trademark you have if they haven't, if they're marketing in a different area, because a trademark by common law is only good for the counties in which you have sold product or services.
Now, if a business owner is thinking about using a term, but he's not sure till maybe next year, is there a way to reserve that term if it's available, that trademark if it's available?
That's the intent to use application. You file intent to use with the Federal Trademark Office, and it'll take probably a year or two to have the trademark actually issue. If it hasn't been in commerce, it will be issuable, not issued. And then you file a statement of to extend your time. You can do this for up to 3 years, every 6 months, of intent to use before you have to either cut bait or file. And then at the time when you're actually using it, you then file a statement of use, and then you get the number issued to you.
Now, Bill, are there different kinds of marks, different kinds of trademarks?
There are different kinds of marks depending on what your purpose is. There's in common law, it's trademark. That's the name of it. But in the patent and trademark office, they have broken down to trademarks for goods, and there's like 34 different categories of goods. And then they have trademarks for service marks, which are, and there are about 9 or 10 of those categories. And they also have what they call certification marks. Like, for example, Cheerios would be a trademark. A service mark would be Clean and Press, because that mark is for dry cleaning services. It's not for a good, it's for services. And Underwriter Laboratory, UL, is a certification mark because you must pass their certification to get their mark on your product.
So are there separate and different types of applications for each of these different types of marks?
There are separate applications. Well, the application for the goods or service mark is the same application. You just check off whether it's goods or service. The certification mark is similar too. You just check off it's a certification mark, and you provide information for that. So it's not really the same application, just different subsets, because you're providing who the source is, you, what the image is you're trying to trademark, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no disclosure beyond that. You don't have to necessarily, well, you also disclose when you first used it in commerce, when you first used a period, which would be in your town or something.
Okay, let's walk through this one more time now. If I've got a product or a service that I have a word for or design for and I want to protect it, then we first start and you do a search to find out if anyone else is using that name or that design?
The first thing I would do is see how fanciful or unique the name is versus how descriptive it is. If it's very descriptive, like Minneapolis Fried Chicken, I'm going to urge you to pick a different name, because you won't get a trademark for 3 to 5 years. You have to first show a secondary market, that someone is acknowledging that as you. This is all to protect the consumer, not you. So if you want to have your goodwill associate with that name, you want the name to be something that is uniquely identified to you. The more descriptive it is, which marketing loves, the harder it is to trademark. So the first thing is to see what the name is. The second thing is to search that name to see how it's available. Typically, I would get several names of choices, see how available all of them are, and then say 1 and 2 are available, 3 is not, and then you pick which one you like. I would do this with the trademark database to see if it's available for you to use without someone else saying throw out your stuff away. If you then want to pay the additional money of $1,000 per name to see if someone else is using it, and you're worried about having someone in another town, state, whatever, mm-hmm. saying you can't use that mark in my region or my county because I used it first, that's a problem to you, then we would arrange to do that. But if you're selling a product that's to a few people, it's an industrial product, you may not be concerned about that. Then once we go through that process, and that typically is part of this package fee of $1,000 for an application. And that's, by the way, is an application per goods or services. If you have a name like Northwest, but you're covering airline traffic and sandwiches, each one of those is a separate application. $1,000, because you're getting a trademark for each one of those categories of goods or services.
So does that mean if you've got a trademark for a term that you're using, and you apply that term to maybe 10 different products within a product line, you have to have 10 applications to have that term and then a description and that term and a description?
No. But I can see where you would think that. The category of goods, there are only 34 categories to cover all of the manufactured goods there are. So entertainment goods, home repair goods is a category. So the products that you would be having in, say, shampoo, toothbrush, hairstyling would all be the same category. Your description of goods would be goods including these areas.
Okay.
So, like, for example, the person that had the unique house, his description of goods was for carpet cleaning, furnace cleaning, ductwork. That was what he sold under his business, and that was all under that one trademark of the house.
Oh, okay.
Because they all fit under the category of goods that was under home repair or maintenance.
How's this all affected by terms that we've accepted as generic, like Kleenex? Kleenex at one time was a brand, and I think it still is. But when people talk about tissues today, they say Kleenex. They just use it that way. How does that enter
Kleenex
this?
Was one of those things, like elevators. Initially, when it came out, it was a trademark, a common law trademark. They were selling it as that. The problem was the usage in the commerce became evolved to the point where they used the word Kleenex for give me Kleenex.
Kind of like we say Google it.
Right. A trademark is an adjective. It's not a noun. And
okay.
Marketing does a lot of efforts to keep encouraging writers in newspapers, magazines, customers, consumers, to use their term as a adjective and not as a noun. Once Kleenex tissue paper became Kleenex, it became generic and therefore lost its trademark rights.
What a shame.
Coca-Cola has been doing a lot of work to keep their Coke as an adjective, Coke soft drink, not Coke.
Yeah, down south, a lot of them will say, give me a Coke, meaning any pop.
And Google is used a lot as a verb or as a noun. And I imagine Google is doing a lot of efforts to try and maintain their trademark by reminding the public that, no, it is Google search, Google service, internet service.
As opposed to just using the word Google instead of the word search.
Right.
So now, when you go get a national trademark, is it good forever? Or you just suggested that if that becomes the generically used term, you may lose your trademark. How does that work?
Well, being an attorney, it depends.
Here we go,
you
Sam.
You got it there.
Here we go. I knew I could get him to do this again.
And there goes 20 more minutes of this conversation, which only has 2 minutes left. In the... What was the question again?
Does the Patent and Trademark Office make the determination as to whether or not a trademark...
How long will it last? It will last as long as you are in commerce and as long as the consumer views you as the source rather than it's a noun that anybody can supply. I go to XYZ company for Kleenex as opposed to tissue paper.
Who makes that determination? Is that the examiners at the Patent and Trademark Office?
Basically, that's you. All they want is every 5 years, at the fifth year, and then every 10 years thereafter, you fill out a form for a fee that says that you are still using it in commerce and you want to renew it. The renewing using in commerce is done the fifth year, and then the 10th year, 20th, 30th, 40th. And so on. The renewal is the 10th year and 20th, 30th, 40th. And you have a year time frame to make these filings.
So there's your maintenance issue on trademarks, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
But the filing fees for $100 are not like they're rising amounts. They're very, very minimal.
So not as bad as is the filing fees on patents and those type of things.
But and they're indefinite as far as time frame. The biggest issue is you want to make sure it doesn't become so common in public where it's now a noun.
Right.
Let's talk about if someone is using my common law trademark, does it come back to the dates? If I used it first in this county, it's mine? Or what's the determining factor? What are my rights if somebody else is using my mark?
If someone else is using it, the rights are who was the first in the county that you're talking about, and it's by county. If I use my trademark, which is Protect Your Uniqueness, and I have brochures that talk about that, and I have passed the brochures out to customers in Twin Cities, and someone else knowing of my trademark says, hey, that's unique, and they live in South Dakota and they start doing that, or they live in Rochester or St. Cloud and start doing that, I have no right to protect them, to prevent them from using that, because it doesn't matter if they know of my thing, unlike copyrights. All that matters is that was I in commerce in a region or not? How are customers assuming that that's me? And so where I have not yet started selling it without a registered mark, I'm up the creek.
If it's a common law trademark.
A common law trademark.
But then if you get the federal registered trademark, What are the enforcement issues around that if somebody starts using it?
Then, just like the cooling store, I can tell somebody to, in a polite letter, throw yourself away. And if they disagree, we can go to court, and the court rulings are that they're my trademarks, and you throw the stuff away. Now, they might very well say they, and they can prove that they were using that in that town before I filed for my federal trademark. In that case, they may still use it, but only in that town. They can't expand.
The Burger King example.
And I may want to buy them out to get the overall rights, or I may want to let them stay in that town and forget about it.
Now, you gave us the example of Burger King, where there were three outfits that were using the name before Burger King went to get their national trademark. Could they open up more locations within that county?
In that county, but they can't go outside that county, because trademarks are... The geographical area that you're using it in is divided by county. So you hear people talk about getting a state trademark, and that's of limited value.
Is there such a thing as a state, like a Minnesota trademark?
Sure. Minnesota will register your trademark on their site. But the only rights you have if you go to court, if push comes to shove, is the market, the geographical counties that you've been doing your service or goods in.
Within the state.
Within that state. Uh-huh. Because it's a federal mark, and federal rule trumps state rule where there is a conflict.
Okay.
Wow. Everything's complicated, isn't it, Sam?
It's all full of details.
All full of details.
For the money involved, see a lawyer, because you're spending... a lot of money on signage, on advertising, on having customers associate you with a product. At least see if someone else owns the trademark that you're trying to have customers have loyalty to. If so, change yours. And
been there.
And if no one is using it, for gosh sakes, buy it. Own it.
Lock it up and protect it.
Lock it, protect it.
Bill, any final thoughts for business owners on trademarks today?
Nothing more than what I just said. The goodwill is a very valuable thing to have, brand loyalty. You have a unique product that you want customers to associate with you. Own the name that you're associating with that product, or at least see if someone else owns it and then change it.
So if a business owner is going to spend the time and the money and the energy to promote his product or service, and he has a name and a design or a design, take the time to protect it from the beginning and make sure that you can protect it going forward before you put that kind of time and energy into it.
And even more, if you're going to buy another business and they have a trademark, make sure that they have a trademark. If they say have a Minnesota trademark and they never filed anything, and someone else has a nationwide trademark...
Oops.
And you might not be getting what you thought you were getting.
Right.
Bill, this has been a fascinating discussion of trademarks, and we're about out of time for today. I'm Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, our producer, Jargi Jorgensen, and today's guest, Bill Berggren, the Berggren Law Offices, on this segment of todaysbusinessradio.com.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.